from the Presidential Towers in Chicago, Dean Richards is live at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A lot of people completing the climb. They've got their medals. Apparently, when you complete the climb, you get a medal, a banana, and a bottle of water. That seems like a nice...
And a good feeling.
And a good feeling, because you're helping the American Lung Association at the same time. But very nice for the folks. We can see them congregating outside our hermetically sealed glass room where we are doing our broadcast for this morning. Weekend box office numbers are just in, and not a surprise that it is a huge weekend for Hugh Jackman's Logan. This is such a good movie. Gave it a great review the other day. And it took in $82.5 million on its opening weekend, which is amazing.
His last Wolverine, right?
It is his presumably his last Wolverine. The scary movie from Jordan Peele, Get Out, hangs on to the number two spot. The Shack is number three. The Lego Batman movie in at number four. And John Wick Chapter 2. I'm just looking at the top five here to see if there was any Oscar bump at all by anything. Oh. And, yeah, not really. With the Academy Awards last weekend, Hidden Figures is in the number seven spot. Took in $3.7 million. La La Land is in the number 10 spot, at least until they bring us the correct envelope to tell us if those numbers are correct or not. But I do not see... do not see the Academy Award-winning Best Film of the Year, Moonlight, at all in the top 20 movies of the weekend. Very interesting. And honestly, not that huge of a surprise. The Academy Awards, in a short term like this, very rarely actually has any kind of immediate financial bump. There probably will be with DVD and home video. I know Moonlight was out last week, came out on DVD and Blu-ray last week. La La Land won't be on DVD and Blu-ray until next May, but Fences, in the next couple of weeks, Fences is coming out. Many of the other Oscar-nominated films and Oscar-winning films, Manchester by the Sea and some of the others, are first coming out. The first time that I heard about La La Land is when my friend Michael Kutza, who is the founder and artistic director for the Chicago Film Festival, called me and said, hey, you want to come and host the opening night for the Chicago Film Festival? We have this film called La La Land that'll be starting it all. And the director, some guy named Damien Chazelle, who I had heard of because he had directed a favorite film of mine from a couple of years ago, Whiplash. But he was going to be here, and some of the performers in the movie were going to be here. I said, sure, I always like to be part of the opening night of the film festival whenever I possibly can. And this little film that no one had ever heard of, this odd little musical that went on to be the darling of all the film festivals this year and most of the critics' awards and many of the awards that took place during the last couple of months. And almost won Best Picture.
For about 10 minutes.
For the night. A little less than that. It did win the most Academy Awards, six Academy Awards this past Sunday, and was part of this huge debacle that took place at the end of the Academy Awards. And my friend Michael Kutza, the founder and artistic director of the Chicago Film Festival, is here with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You must have felt pretty great when that you chose La La Land to be the opening film for our film festival this year, and it went on to do such amazing things, as has happened in the past.
They showed it to us when it was half finished in August before it went to Venice, where it opened the Venice Film Festival. And I said to my cohort Mimi, I said, this is a lot of fun. It's sweet. It takes all the great musical moments out of Singing in the Rain and American in Paris. It brings them all together. And into one of the little things. When I met the director at the festival, and I said, I really don't like you.
Who doesn't want to hear that when they come to?
He said, why? I said, because you're 31 years old, right. And I really I resent your talent, whether it's Whiplash or this movie. God, you know, I was very impressed.
Yeah, now Academy Award-winning Best Director of the Year, Damien Chazelle.
You know, the Oscars, I don't think the Oscars are going to survive. It'll take a couple of years to survive this mishap, but I remember the Oscars, and so do you. It used to be a dinner at the Coconut Grove where you sit at your table at the Golden Globes. You sit there, and an actor or director gets up, thank you for your award, and thank you, the audience, for voting for me and making my movie a success. You didn't thank your agent. You didn't thank God and your wife for putting up with you and your children and your this and your that. Did anyone on that show this year thank me for going to that movie and spending $12 to $15 and loving you enough to get you to this plateau? I think there's something very missing about this Oscar show. The first half hour or hour and a half is a fashion show that has nothing to do with the Oscars. I don't get the whole deal. And then you got this really lame show.
I thought it was a good show this year.
I thought the films were great this year. I thought the show was just...
I thought the films were great this year, too, but I liked Jimmy Kimmel. I thought Jimmy Kimmel was...
See, I don't know Jimmy Kimmel. I don't stay up that late to even see these guys. I don't know. I want Billy Crystal. I want some fun. I want a big thing.
I thought Jimmy Kimmel was... I thought he was fun.
I thought he had a great line when he said to Meryl Streep, I love your dress. Is that an Ivanka?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
a lot of people criticized the Academy Awards without even seeing the show. They were criticizing the award show for being overly political, which really the show was not any more political than any late
I thought show. It was going to be much more. I thought
too.
It was going to be a huge,
I did
just
too.
Political one after another.
I did
and
too.
It wasn't.
Are you guys? What about the heavy-handedness of... Okay, last couple of years, everybody's been saying this is the white Oscars. So this year you do the overkill, totally overkill, and you make everything black and white, to the point where it almost became laughable. I don't want to sound like some crazed racist, but is there no subtlety in putting a show together and making it an equal opportunity adventure?
Well, maybe that's... I think that's what it's become now. There were... a lot of really quality films and performances by actors
absolutely
of color this year, and they didn't change the voting process, but they allowed more people into the voting process
it's just visibly on screen the setup of couple by couple by couple. I said this is getting a little obvious, and anyway, excellent films this year. One of my favorites. Nobody ever saw Hell and High Water, which I think, you know, Jeff Bridges is a hell of an actor. I think it was one of his best performances.
Right.
Yes, it was nominated. Yeah. It's just.
I wonder how many people are really going to see these movies before they come out on DVD or 6 months later. I mean, there's certainly fans, but. With the way that the movie world has been segmented with people watching on their tablets or waiting for things. I mean, you go every week, and that's your bread and butter, but you saw $82 million for a Wolverine movie. But I really wondered, because Jimmy Kimmel was telling a lot of jokes, and they were referencing the movies, and I don't think people got the jokes, because I don't know how many people saw...
Of the average,
to your point, many of the movies.
Of the average public, I think that's probably true.
Wouldn't it be cool if the show... the Oscar presentation show, forget the fashion show, I still don't understand what that's all about. If the show actually showed you some movie clips and showed you what this stuff was all about, which they don't.
Very few clips.
They don't.
Yeah.
It.
Well, don't forget now, he's a huge movie fan.
I love movies.
And he runs a festival, so I could see where you're looking more at the film as opposed to the pageantry.
And the whole,
which the show has become.
The whole, you know, the mishap at the ending, I felt bad for Faye Dunaway. She's always like a heavy. And Warren, like, threw her under the train. I felt bad for her.
I don't think Warren wanted her to read the card. I think he was showing her, like, look, I got the wrong card. I'm not trying to be coy.
I think that's what the problem was, is that Warren Beatty realized that he had the wrong card. And did everything except say I think I have the wrong card, which would have prevented all of this from happening had he said that.
I don't think either one of them can see without the glasses.
Well,
I know Faye. I know Faye can't see.
Yeah, well, she saw the biggest letters.
She said biggest letter.
Right?
That's
biggest
right.
Letters you that see, said La La Land.
She did see the biggest,
she
biggest
thought
letters.
Warren Beatty was fooling around.
She said, oh, you're
right.
terrible.
And right, right, right.
Around. So
right,
she just blurted it out. And
sure.
Why
sure.
it took them so long to correct the mistake is amazing.
And then what's interesting, too, is so let's say La La Land really did win, okay? So I wonder, did when he heard her say La La Land, was Warren thinking, well, maybe it won, so no big deal. Maybe, even though we made a mistake here.
Yeah, don't know.
Yeah, and then we would have never known he got the wrong envelope, because, you know, if La La Land had won, he never would have told anybody that he got the wrong card.
Yeah, you knew something was wrong when you saw the flurry of activity of people behind them that were trying to figure out how to correct
logically, them. If I won the best director, shouldn't I have won the best film?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I know, but I don't get I don't get that. No. I don't get that either.
Don't understand. You've got the Chicago Television Awards.
We do. We have
Chicago International Television Festival Awards coming up soon.
The 22, 23, 24, we have a whole television festival. We've been doing it for 50 years, and it's exciting because we honor television commercials and productions and have a lot of the stars and the creators there. And it's an incredible event. We do it over at the AMC, and we give a Chicago Award, which we're actually giving to some guy, I don't know, on WGN, Dean Richards, right? Is that his name?
Not
Dean?
Familiar with
Dean.
Him.
Another accolade.
Dean. Not familiar with him.
Dean.
Another accolade.
And then we'll be announcing, do you remember Joe Settlemyer? He's going to get our legendary
Where's
award.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Exactly.
Where's the beef?
Exactly.
Huge name. A legendary name in the television advertising.
That all happens the 23rd over at the AMC. That's open to the public. It's incredible stuff. And a lot of early shows, you'll see, well, we haven't announced it yet until this week, but a lot of early shows that have not been finished yet, you'll get to see the pilots of them and all with the stars coming in for that. That's a whole thing, but just go to chicagofilmfestival.com and you'll figure it all out.
It's a good time
out.
For Chicago and television, isn't it? A lot is being filmed here right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but when you think about it, when I started this thing 50-odd years ago, Leo Burnett, a name in advertising, Leo Burnett, Fairfax Cone, Foot Cone Building, and Dick Needham said, okay, if you're going to do this film festival with all these films no one's ever heard of, and you're going to honor them all, you got to honor television because our little 60-second movies is more time, more thought, more money, and talent put into our little commercial than some of those foreign films you're showing. So I've kept this television festival going all that time, too, to honor that tradition. And there is a lot of work and time that goes into a McDonald's spot or whatever spot.
What I've always wondered, interestingly, the Super Bowl is such a big deal for commercials.
Yeah.
Why isn't the Oscars just as a big deal for commercials, more people are watching the Oscars around the world.
You know, they had some pretty good spots, their Samsung and their Cadillac spots.
Yeah.
I thought were actually better than some of the Super Bowl spots,
seriously.
Frankly.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know?
That was going to be my coverage the next day of how I thought the commercials were so exceptional.
They were exceptional.
I had a whole nother game plan of things that I noticed during the show that I thought were significant. Until the debacle at the end happened.
Then you had to cover it.
Suddenly
you know, that debacle was probably the closest thing to reality TV we'll ever see in our life. That really was.
So when you say that you don't think the Academy Awards can survive, what do you mean by that?
Are you going to really race to watch it again next year or the next year? I think it'll take a bit of time for normal people to want to see it again. I think it'll damage them. It was a strange episode, and I don't think I'm going to be that trusting. I certainly would get rid of Price Waterhouse, not just these two fools. The whole company's been there too long.
Yeah, they got banned I'm banned from the Oscars, not even do anything wrong. I've never been there either.
Dean, you've gone many a year of the Oscar.
I think that what's hurting the Oscars most is that the films, you know, Logan, for example, that is 80 million plus this weekend, will not get any sort of Oscar accolade whatsoever next year. That the films that people go to see don't get Oscar nominated. You talk about Heller, High Water.
I love that thing.
You talk about, talk about the biggest films of the year, Moonlight. Not really that much at the box office. La La Land until recently, really not that much at the box office. These are not mass films.
Yeah.
Transformers, when that comes out this year, is going to be huge box office. Yeah. And those are the kinds of films. That's really why they opened up the Best Picture nomination category so they could try to include box office favorites to get people to watch their show, and that doesn't seem to be working.
All those Transformers are produced by a young man who used to be my programmer at Chicago Film Festival 20 years ago, and he's the president at Paramount, who does those endless Transformer films.
Well, people watch them. I can't make a judgment on them because people like certain kind of movies.
They really do.
And there's room for, as the great Roy Leonard used to say, it's the reason why Baskin Robbins makes 31 flavors. There is something for everyone out there, and nothing is wrong and nothing is right. There's a different taste for everyone.
You know, Dick Wolf is making these 5 productions in town. I've been looking at all of them. It's part of our television thing. They are ingenious. When you see how, I'm a Chicagoan, and you love seeing how they utilize these buildings. The courthouse is the Field Museum. It's it's ingeniously shot. I said, wow, that must be in Washington, D.C. No, it's the stairs of the Field Museum.
Right.
Great stuff to watch his shows.
How beautiful the city
is. I heard his next one's going to be Chicago Streets and Sand.
That's
going to be a good one.
Yeah. Are you mentioning that because I fell in a pothole yesterday, lost my car on LaSalle Street?
I heard they were shooting a pilot for a Chicago proctology.
Very good.
That's going to be an interesting one.
Wait till you see those camera angles.
Michael, if people want to get information about the Chicago International Television Festival that's coming up, what's the best way to do
that? Just go to chicagofilmfestival.com. That's simple.
Is their founder and their artistic director. And thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Dean.
It's always good to see you.
I'll see you soon.
After a break on WGN.